Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 52. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow. John is chasing Komodo dragons, and so co-hosting today is Mr. Aaron Bewley from DeliMC. Aaron, how you doing, man?
Doing fantastic. First of all, congratulations, 52 episodes.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
I know, right?
Man.
We started this thing as a little side project, you know, not our day jobs, having fun. But yeah, we've been trying to do at least one a week. Sometimes that happens, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, it's been fun, man.
Huge. Well, I know you have a good following, so keep it up, man.
Appreciate that. So, Aaron, you also have a pretty good following. A lot of people probably know you as the VX Rail guy, but also in the community, you seem to be a fairly popular guy. You're on Twitter at Aaron Bewley, but you also do these really cool short educational videos. You call them SevOps. You do those with Russ Cantwell and Taylor Gates. Really awesome guys. I have my Bewley Strong glasses and my Bewley Strong sticker. So do me a favor, give me an update. For those of you that don't know, Aaron had a little bit of a battle, which I think he won, with cancer. And I'll let you give me the details.
Yeah, you bet. So the quick and short of it is, in January, I found out that I had stage 3 cancer. So a bit of a shock. But man, what was probably even a bigger shock was how the community really rallied around me.
Yeah.
And my family. It was overwhelming. I kept saying that to my wife over and over. Just, I don't know if I'm more overwhelmed by the situation I'm going through or just so incredibly impressed by what the community did. So huge thank you to everyone. But yeah, so at this point, I went through three months of chemo, which basically hospitalized me for the majority of it. That was exciting. And then at the end of May, I had a, yeah, phenomenal. I can't stand hospitals now. So. But at the end of May, I had a huge surgery where they did a big midline incision and basically took all my guts out, found 3 tumors, pulled them out, and put me back together. And I'm feeling amazing. I'm getting a lot better every single day. So
that's awesome.
Just getting back involved in the community, ramping back up into work, and just excited to be back at it. But man, I face every day with just, you know, joy. It's hard to be upset when you realize that every day is a gift, man.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely.
Excited to be here.
Man, I get the feels because I was fighting with you the whole time, man, and I'm really glad. Although I must say I am slightly resentful because now that you've kicked cancer, you're already growing hair back and I can't do that. So
yeah, this is not, yeah, you guys can't see because it's just a podcast, but yeah, I'm getting some fuzz up there. It feels like it's like feathery. It's like baby hair.
Yeah.
So
you're already beating me. But, anyway. Yeah. All right. So John, like I said, is out this week. I'm really glad you decided to join us today because we're talking about a pretty cool topic. One I'm sure you're quite familiar with being a vSAN guy and a VxRail guy. And that is encryption in general, vSAN encryption or VMcrypt. And so we get a lot of questions around what the differences are and what vSAN encryption is. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to bring one of our guys, one of our experts over here at VMware, Dave Marrera. So let's bring Dave on. Dave, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, brother? How are you?
Good, man. For those of you that don't know Dave, he's been working at VMware for a little while, rock star. He's got a great blog called Great White Tech. There's no H on the end of that. So greatwhitetech.com. That's also his Twitter handle. But he's been doing a lot of great blogs lately around vSAN, vSAN encryption, a lot of other things too. So thanks for that. And thanks for coming on and joining us today.
Sure, no problem. Happy to be here. I was going to mention that I was trying to recuperate from the man cold last week, but after Aaron gave his speech about cancer, I felt like that was out of place.
Yeah. We don't care about your little man cold, man. You need to beat That's cancer right. to really get some recognition around here. Just kidding.
My boss just came back from China and he was complaining to the rest of the team about his cold that he picked up. And they were all like, just let it go, man. Let it go. Yeah. They pointed over to a picture of me on the wall or something.
Hilarious.
But Dave, it looks like you're a real life rock star as well. You got a sweet drum set back there and it looks like maybe a guitar.
Yeah, that's right. Drum set, a few guitars. Gives me a mental break when I need it, you know, 15 minutes, you know, bang the drums for a little bit and then get back to work.
Oh man, yeah, you should have been playing those to the intro music when we started, man. You should have jumped on your drum kit.
That's right.
Can you explain the Great White Tech piece? What's the significance of the shark there?
So for those of you that don't know, I'm from Costa Rica. So when I was in high school, I used to go surfing on the weekends once in a while, and I got had a couple close encounters. So great whites, I have a lot of respect for them, and you know, they made an impact on me, obviously.
Yeah.
So you know, great white, I thought it would be, you know, a catchy name, something easy to remember, rather than just a last name. So that's how a great white tag came up.
Nice.
Awesome. Great story.
All right, well, let's jump into some vSAN encryption. Now, we had Mike Foley on a couple of weeks ago when we were doing our vSphere 6.5 coverage, and he did a great job of explaining what VMcrypt is, the VM encryption. So we don't need to spend too much time on that, but if you could, Dave, why don't you tell me a little bit about what vSAN encryption is and how it differs from VMcrypt?
Sure. So, and that's a common question we get from the field. A lot of customers are asking, you know, what's the difference? You know, are they the same? What's going on? So, you know, to recap of what Mike Foley said, VM encryption uses the exact same encryption modules and KMIP libraries as vSAN encryption. It also utilizes the same KMS cluster or KMS server if you don't have a cluster. And they're both configured the same way as far as, you know, the KMS goes. They're configured at the vCenter level. VM encryption, although it's encryption of data at rest and also in transit, as opposed to vSAN encryption, which is only data at rest.
Right.
However, for VM encryption, there's one key per VM. So one key that we get from KMS per each VM that we want to protect. For vSAN encryption, we get one key, key encryption key per entity. So there's one key per cluster we have to worry about. So there's a difference right there. For VM encryption, we're going to encrypt the VMDK, VMX files, snapshots, etc. And for vSAN encryption, we actually encrypted the entire data store. So whatever you put in that data store is going to be encrypted at rest. Another thing to consider is that VM encryption uses VIO filters, right?
Oh, yeah. You can actually do a policy, right? You can configure VM encryption using storage policy-based management and apply it to individual VMs or individual disks within a virtual machine because it's happening at that individual disk layer, right?
Correct, yes. So because of that, though, there's zero to no dedup and compression on the vSAN side. Ah. So nothing stops you from running VM encryption on vSAN, but that is the caveat that there's no dedup and compression because it happens at a higher level, as opposed to in vSAN encryption where the encryption happens at the lowest level and is transparent to the guest OS. So you're taking advantage of dedup and compression from vSAN. And there's another thing that, for example, instant clones and snapshotting of encrypted VMs using VM encryption is not supported. So those are things that you need to take into consideration when looking at both.
So I'm guessing because it's at the data store level, this is in the hypervisor. And since it's not in motion, this is data at rest. So things like deduplication and all of the snapshots and clones, they can happen before. And then when the data comes to rest, that's when the encryption process happens. Is that how it works?
Right. So we're actually doing the dedup and compression first before we actually encrypt all that data.
That makes sense. Cool. Yeah.
So it sounds like there was a lot there. It sounds like we could probably sum that up into about three different things. We've got what maybe we would call attack surface coverage, right? So VMcrypt being in transit over the network all the way down to data at rest, whereas vSAN encryption would just be the at rest piece. Another component of that, the second one being preserving storage efficiency, right? So depending on which one you pick, right? If you do VMcrypt, then you're going to lose your storage efficiency. And then the granularity of encryption, and I think we'll probably talk about that a little bit more, but you touched on that a little bit as far as being at the VM level or at the data store level.
Correct, yes. And okay. The biggest one that we've seen is, you know, being able to do dedup and compression as well as encryption at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. Seems like a huge plus.
Aaron, I know you're a VxRail guy. So is this something that comes up a lot with VxRail customers? Because I know you do a lot of vSAN. So is that something that comes up with some of your customers?
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, we're having conversations with HITRUST, CloudLink, et cetera, until we get 6.6. onto Rail and Rack SDDC, which is right around the corner here in another couple months. So yeah, it absolutely comes up.
Because before this, you had to use, like if you were using vSAN prior to 6.5, you would basically just get self-encrypting drives and call it a day, but obviously no functionality. You're just doing it at the drive level, right?
Right, yeah. So we don't actually use self-encrypting drives for Rail or Rack SDDC. So our encryption option here is either to partner with somebody like HITRUST or CloudLink.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so that's why we're excited about 6.6 hitting us here in a couple months.
Nice.
Yeah. So one of the biggest questions I often get is around overhead, performance penalties, things about, I've got some more questions around that, but can you speak to what that is if we enable it?
Yeah, so vSAN encryption utilizes the AES and I instruction set from CPUs, and most of the latest CPUs from Intel and AMD have that capability. Now, we've been seeing around between 5 to 15% CPU overhead, but we're not seeing any performance overhead on top of that, unless, obviously, if you're running CPUs to 95% or something similar to that. Yeah,
which should feel negligible with the state of Intel processors at this point, right?
Correct. So on the newest versions, for example, Skylake, we have noticed that there's a 75% performance enhancement when running encryption because of the new models of CPUs.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, so that's a big note right there. But going to the latest generation, you're getting, so even with it on, you're getting a 75% performance enhancement.
Right. Yep.
That's awesome. So all flash only or hybrid as well?
No. So we actually, you know, for my vSAN encryption overview, you know, we talked about being data and rest. You know, we don't need self-encrypting drives. We actually don't support that on vSAN. We don't need to update drivers or things like that. But we also spoke about being able to keep dedupe compression. We support hybrid configurations of vSAN. We do all flash, trash clusters, whatever flavor you want to run, you know, we can do encryption.
That's awesome. Okay, what about enabling it with the data already in place? So we were talking about Rail and RackSDC a little bit ago. Let's say I've got a customer that already has those deployed, and then an update comes, software update, they click update. Now suddenly they've got encryption available to them. Do they have to wipe everything? Do they have to like bring in a swing cluster, or how does that work?
No, so you're able to do this in place. And there's a few requirements that you need for this. One of them is to have vSAN on disk format version 5, which is the latest from vSAN 6.6. So if you're not using version 5, then you just do the web client and upgrade that. Or if you enable encryption, it would actually upgrade that on disk format automatically for you. Now, if you have data in place already, what it's going to do is going to remove a disk group, and it's going to reformat all the drives one disk group at a time. It's going to do this in a rolling format. So it's going to move the data out, do the reformat of all those drives for that disk group, you know, bring it up to version 5 and do a disk format change for encryption. And then it's going to do that for the other disk groups remaining on the cluster. And obviously, the data is going to be moving around. If you don't have enough host based on your configuration, then there's an option to not have that extra copy while you're doing this.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's pretty smart. But that's definitely a huge note towards having enough slack space before you do something like this.
Correct.
You don't want to be running your cluster at 95% and then kick off an encryption policy.
Yeah. Right. And this, it may take quite some time as well, you know, depending on how much data you have. So if you're thinking about doing encryption and it's a brand new cluster, then, you know, you benefit from doing it right away, just like we did for dedupe and compression, right?
Yeah. But the ease of just leaving your data in place, that's phenomenal. I don't care if it takes, you know, a week or a month or whatever.
Yeah, it's non-disruptive. So set it and forget it.
Exactly. Can you disable it?
Yeah, so you can. There's different things you can do. Once vSAN encryption is enabled, you have the ability to disable it, to turn it on and off. It's going to go through the process of, you know, removing those key encryption keys in a rolling format. You're also able to change the key. There's two, a rekey operation. There's two of those, the shallow rekey and the deep rekey. And then when I talk about the different keys that we have, I can explain that a little better. But, you know, in essence, we have, you know, three different keys that we're going to use for vSAN encryption. One of them, we take the key, encryption key from KMS server, and the other one is going to be the data encryption key that the host is going to create. If you do a shallow rekey, all we're doing is taking that key encryption key and getting a new one from KMS and then applying that to the data encryption key. And deep rekey is when we change both the key encryption key and the data encryption key.
Okay.
So you have a lot of flexibility. You know, if something you think it gets compromised, you can change the keys, you can enable it, disable encryption. So it's not like you're stuck forever, you know.
Okay. So before we move on, VMcrypt or VM encryption versus vSAN encryption. vSAN encryption is at data at rest, while and it's at the data store level, whereas VMcrypt, for example, is done using either policies or setting at an individual disk level, but also has data at rest and data in transit. So there's never a time, and I'm sure I know the answer to this, but there's never a time where you would do both, right? Because it seems to me like that would probably not be a smart thing to do.
I mean, you can do it. So you could have some VMs, you know, just encrypted the VM level, for example, if you have a cluster, a vSAN cluster, but you also have some external storage, right? So you can have your vSAN encryption going, and you can have some policies for your VMs to be encrypted as well there on that external storage, right? So there's different scenarios as well where you can use both or pick and choose what you want to use.
Okay, cool.
So Dave, can you walk me through understanding? I'm hearing a couple of different things about how the data at rest functions between the cache layer and the persistent storage layer. Because I understand that we do dedupe and compression and then encryption between the cache and then when it gets destaged to the persistence. So does that mean that my cache layer is not encrypted?
Good question.
No, actually your cache layer is encrypted. So we encrypt both devices. So if someone walks up to your server and takes the cache drive out, that is going to be encrypted. If they take a capacity drive out, it's also going to be encrypted. What happens is we are going to do an encryption when it comes into the buffer. You know, it's going to land into the buffer in the caching tier. Then we're going to decrypt that, do a dedupe and compression, and then we're going to encrypt it again once it lands in the persistent tier.
Ah.
So we're doing like a double encryption per se. You know, we encrypt the data when it comes to the buffer, decrypt again, and then encrypt on the capacity.
That's awesome. And because it's all flash, there's really no performance penalty in doing that, which brings a question, Aaron, and this is probably more for Aaron. Aaron, you're out there in the field a lot. Are people still buying hybrid arrays today? I mean, I feel like it's been a while since I've been... Yeah, right? Like, who's still buying spinning disk?
People do, okay. But I always tell them it's the wrong answer. And people laugh, but...
Yeah, and I know this isn't...
All flash is the way to go.
This is obviously not a discussion on what type of disk to buy, but I'm just curious, considering the price point is very similar now, right? If not negligible at this point, it's very similar. So why in the world would you not go to all flash?
That's exactly what I ask. There's way too many benefits of going with all flash. I mean, power, cooling, space, capacity, price, storage efficiency, and the list just goes on.
Surprisingly, I deal a lot with Latin America area, so there's a lot of hybrid. Most of the vSAN that is being purchased is hybrid, actually, because of cost. At least that's what they're saying. So in those countries, the drives are cheaper if you still go the older technology, the spinning drives.
Oh, okay.
However, when they get into the performance side, they're actually finally understanding that to get better performance, they need more drives, which equals more cost. So now they're starting to see the benefits on all flash. But yeah, those markets in Latin America, they're still very strong with hybrid.
Yeah, when you zoom out and look at TCO, I argue all flash wins every time. But that's my opinion.
All right. Didn't mean to digress. It just made me think about it.
And it's the right one.
Yeah, for sure. Makes sense.
Dave, can you touch on where vCenter lives? Can it live in the encrypted data store, or why would or wouldn't I do that?
So vCenter can live in the encrypted data store. One of the things we do recommend is to have that KMS outside vSAN. So if you're deploying a virtual appliance for KMS, you can put that outside your vSAN cluster. Also, ideally, you have your vCenter outside vSAN as well. In this case, and if you do, this is where you can actually utilize the VM encryption to encrypt your vCenter.
Nice. And what happens if you lose that vCenter, though, and you've got it encrypted? Are you hosed?
That's an excellent question. We get that a lot, and that actually happened to me. so there's a few scenarios that happen. For example, what happens if you lose your vCenter? And in order to understand that, we need to understand how the key management works. So, we have different entities here. We're talking about the KMS, talking about a KMS server or KMS cluster, ideally, vCenter, your vSAN host, and your drives. I did mention we have three different sets of keys, the key encryption key, data encryption key, and a host key.
Okay.
This last one, the host key, is what we're going to use to encrypt the core dumps. We do this so we don't have to send our, data encryption key to GSS when we upload the core dumps. But the main keys that we utilize for vSAN encryption is key encryption key and data encryption key. Now, when we're dealing with vCenter plays some part on the vSAN encryption, but it's not as important, I would say. It does need to know about it. It needs to have the information about the key encryption key and the key encryption key ID. So it's gonna we're going to set up that trust between the KMS cluster and the vCenter, right? And when we have that trust, then we can go in and the web UI and we can say, okay, enable vSAN. And then vCenter is going to pass that information. It's going to take the information from the KMS server, for example, the key encryption key ID per cluster, and pass that information down to the host. Now, the host is the one that is going to reach out to the KMS server and say, okay, I have the key, encryption key ID. Now, give me my key, right? And this key encryption key is going to be utilized to encrypt the data encryption key that we're going to utilize to actually encrypt the data, because we don't want that data encryption key to be in plain text, obviously.
Yeah, of course not.
So we protect it that way through the KMS. Now, the host is going to generate this data encryption key. We're going to generate one per disk. It's going to be a unique key per disk. And we're going to encrypt that with the encryption key we got from KMS. So if we lose the vCenter, to answer your question now, you know, the hosts are still aware of the key encryption key. It has the information it received from vCenter where, you know, the KMS server name is and the username and all that stuff.
Yep.
So we're going to know all that information already on the host, and it's stored on the esx.conf config file. So even if vCenter is down, it knows where to go.
Okay.
So when we, for example, if you reboot vCenter, you know, everything works the same because nothing has changed unless you change keys and, during that time. But if just a quick reboot or if you lose it, then, you know, everything works the same way. Now, when you reboot a host, what is going to happen is that host, because the key is not persistent, right? We don't want that to be persistent. It's going to reach out to the KMS and say, I'm rebooting. I need the key. I need to verify the key. And it's going to talk to the KMS server that way. In this case, if you lose not your vCenter by your KMS, then you may have a problem, right? Because that host won't be able to come up.
So what you're telling me is I probably shouldn't lose my KMS then, huh? What does that stand for? That's an acronym, right?
KMP is...
Yeah, Key Management Interoperability Protocol? No.
Right. Yeah,
is that right?
It's a protocol, and that's what it's going to use to talk to vCenter and the host. So it has to be KMIP version 1.1 or later to work with vSAN.
Got it. So vSAN encryption is, I know VMcrypt started in vSphere 6.5. What version of vSphere do I need to use vSAN encryption?
You need vSAN 6.6 enterprise version. That's what it's going to enable vSAN encryption, as well as having the on-disk format version 5.
Okay, so standard or enterprise or whatever?
That would be actually a vSAN enterprise.
Okay. So does this work with all vSAN editions, whether it's 2-node or 4-node or Robo or whatever?
Well, you mentioned Robo. Is Robo the licensing model? I know we have standard and advanced, and I did mention that encryption works with vSAN Enterprise, right? So you may want to watch that space to see what's coming.
Ah, well done. What are you, a product manager? I can't give you dates, but watch that space.
Let's call it Q3.
Yeah, we hear your concerns, and we're thinking really heavily about that. Yeah.
So can you touch on how vSAN encryption relates to products like HITRUST and CloudLink? Because it seems like it's not necessarily an either or, but sometimes we would leverage them as far as a key management server goes, right?
Right. So yeah, we do require to have that external KMS server, and I keep referring to them as clusters because ideally you have some redundancy or at least backups for KMS. Yeah, so we need to have that. And I know there's some confusion because we have our, you know, VCG compatibility guide saying that it's only CloudLink and HITRUST are the only ones there right now. What's happening here is that you know, those vendors already went through the certification process and they have handed that to VMware and they're certified for vSAN encryption. The other vendors are still working on that. So eventually that list would be populated, but we have tested with different vendors.
Okay.
As long as they're using that KMIP protocol, version 1.1 or later, then that should be good. On the field, we have seen a lot of HITRUST. They're a great partner of ours. Obviously, CloudLink being Dell EMC.
Now, is that something that you see on the HCL? Can I go there and go to vSAN and choose encryption and see which ones are certified?
It's a different compatibility guide. So it's on their key management server.
Oh, okay. Send me the link for that. And I will definitely add that as well as your blog and some other things to the show notes of this podcast. Yeah. Sounds good, man. So I guess that my last question for you, and this is probably one of the more important questions for folks that are even considering vSAN encryption. Encryption in general is scary, right? Because it's like you want your data to be protected, but at the same time, you don't want to lose it yourself. Like you don't want to somehow, something fails, you lose a key, you lose something, and all of a sudden you're out of your data. What are some of the potential areas that are, you know, that people need to be concerned about when it comes to securing their data, but also being able to maintain it and keep it highly available?
Yeah, most of the questions we get, it's about, you know, availability. What happens if I lose KMS server, if I lose vCenter, or if I want to maybe, you know, get a new vendor on KMS, or I want to upgrade to the latest version of vCenter, but I don't want to upgrade. I wanted to build a new one and start from scratch. So there's, you know, there's a lot of the questions we're getting. For example, if you want to replace your KMS cluster, then, you know, you're able to do that easily from the web client, just a web UI, just by doing a shallow rekey. So where you would add your KMS server to your vCenter and in the GUI. And then once you go and do a shallow rekey from the vSense section in the GUI, you can say, you know, shallow rekey, and just from the drop-down box, select a different KMS cluster. So that's one of the you know, flexibilities that we have with vSAN encryption. We also have role-based access control. So there's a no cryptography administrator where you can actually block like a, you know, a global admin from doing, you know, cryptography, and just assign that to, you know, just allow your security guys to do that.
Good.
We already talked about the, you know, rebooting vCenters. We know there's little dependency there, but we have to make sure your KMS clusters up and running. So, you know, ideally you want to have a KMS cluster outside of vCenter, outside of vSAN, and you want to take constant backups of KMS and your vCenter as well.
All right. Well, cool. Dave, thank you so much. That sounds like a pretty good wrap up on sort of introduction to what vSAN encryption is and some of the differences between vSAN encryption and VMcrypt or VM encryption. So, Dave, I'm guessing you're going to be at VMworld. And if so, do you have any sessions?
Yes and yes. So, yeah, I would actually be at both VMworld.
Nice.
I have two sessions, actually one general session, a breakout session, I'm sorry. I have a quick talk. I'll be working the booth. I'll be a booth babe.
Nice.
I'll be on the VMware vSAN encryption, obviously. And I would also be doing Meet the Expert at VMworld US. So I'll be you know, pretty busy. One of the sessions I'm doing is we're going to talk about vSAN POCs and give you guys a blueprint on, you know, how to do POCs, why do it, and, you know, how is it beneficial. Session number is SDO2652BU. And then the quick talk, I'm going to be talking with Chen, which is the creator of HCI Bench. We're going to talk about HCI Bench, do a little deep dive. Session, it's SDO2865QU. So I'm looking forward to that. I just saw the schedule, so I'm not really looking to that part because I have one of the first windows and I have the last session possible on Thursday.
Ah, so at least you'll get some quiet time. I'm sure you'll be all by yourself on that one.
Sure.
All right. Well, I know you're at Great White Tech for Twitter, as well as Great White Tech is your blog. I definitely want to recommend folks going there. Also, if you're interested in more vSAN or even, you know, just encryption content, go to storagehub.vmware.com. I know there's a lot of great information out there. Aaron, I'm guessing you're going to VMworld as well?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
I will see you there.
For sure.
I'll
also
be bringing along my team too. So Dave, when you were talking about doing POCs, I'll have my team there, and that's our specialty around VxRail and VxRack SDDC as well. So if they're looking at consuming vSAN on a platform like that, then we'd love to talk with them as well.
Nice.
Cool. Sounds good.
Well, guys, I will see you at VMworld, and John and I will be having a booth at the HCI Zone in the Solutions Exchange. We're going to be doing some live podcasts, so come by and say hi. We're also going to be giving out some virtually speaking t-shirts, and I got one earmarked for both of you as a thank you for coming on the show today.
Sweet.
No trucker hats.
No trucker hats, man. Sorry. You might get a, if you talk to Aaron though, you might get a fidget spinner. I think I saw he was getting rid of some of those.
People secretly love those.
Oh yeah.
They love to bash on them, but then like they're behind closed doors, they're in there just playing with their fidget spinners.
Guilty pleasure. And lastly, I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up. Aaron, please tell me you saw what your buddy Russ Cantwell did on Twitter.
Dude, he's an animal. I love that.
Yeah, for those of you who missed it, if you don't know Russ Cantwell, follow him on Twitter at rcantwell, and instead of an E, it's a 3 on the end. I'll leave links to this on the show notes, of course. Or just go to pedrosarrow.com. I wrote a little blog post about it. He's always talking about how he likes the podcast intro, and so he jams to it in his car, and he created a quick video showing the maniac that he is jamming to the intro. And
it's just a ball of enthusiasm and energy. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, it's
if you
insane.
Can't get pumped off that, yeah.
So I decided, look, I want to start collecting a few of those and putting them together as like a compilation. We're going to have some fun with it at VMworld, and we will be giving gifts to those of you that do submit. Take a look at pedrosarrow.com for details.
Russ set the bar. See if you can beat it.
Yes, he did. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. Subscribe to us on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. Next week, we're bringing on Jace McCarty to talk about some vSAN stretch cluster. And so until then, bye for now. Hey, John Nicholson, what did you think about that episode?
I am profoundly dumbfounded.
You are? That's awesome.
Glad to be.
I miss John.
Me too.
He better be careful, though. If I keep getting good co-hosts on like you, he might be out of a job.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that, John? Come for your spot.
Yeah. You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Arrow and John Nicholson. Woo!
Enough of this jibber jabber.